We're going to go through the book of 1 Peter and see what we can find in 1 Peter. The more I read the Bible, the more I'm convinced that people don't read the Bible. And I'm talking about all kinds of people. It shocks you. It shocks you who you would think would. But so the thing to do is just get your Bible and start reading. Where's a good place to start? Anywhere. Just start reading. It's all His. But now if you just got saved, start with the Gospels. Read all of them, then move on. 1 Peter. Now, if we're going to study a book, when I went to Bible college, they taught us that every book has a key that opens the rest of it up. So let's look at 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 5, verse 12. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 12. This should be the key verse. And as you study through the book, you'll remember this verse, chapter 5, verse 12. But Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have briefly written exhorting, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Now, I believe that we're going to see about the true grace of God in the book of Peter. And some people look at it in prophetic ways. There is some prophecy in it, but it's more about the grace of God than there is anything else. And people don't really think about that. You usually think of Ephesians when you think about that. In the introduction, when he first greets them, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, it talks about God's grace in salvation. And in the greeting, he starts off with the grace of God. But the grace of God in our salvation is described different ways in the book of Peter. Now, if you read a book and pay attention to what you're reading, there's things that you need to notice as you go through that book, and I want to point those out to you. In verse 3, if you'll look at it with me, chapter 1, verse 3. Y'all pray for me. I got sinus trouble too. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I like that, reserve. Got a reserve sign up there. Amen. I ain't never had one of those. I got one now. Amen. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I want you to notice as we go on, he's going to talk more and more about our salvation, more and more about the grace of God. Look at verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the what grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister to things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things? The angels desire to look into. Now he's talking about a living hope. Go back in that verse and underline a living hope. Now, not pie in the sky, not might be, could be, should be, but it is already reserved in heaven. It's a living hope. It's not a hope that some dead religion passed down and you put prayer a cloth on some wheel and spin it, or you go somewhere and you pour water on a rock and pray over something. We've got the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God, and we have a living hope right there. It's not a dead book, it's a live book. These words are for us. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, did you notice that? He said, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We've been born again. That's already finished. That's done. And that gives us a lively hope. Something that we can look to, and I know that I know that I know, because I've experienced it in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, and I've got the Word of God on it, the Word that cannot change, and it's forever and ever. So God's grace in my salvation gives me a lively hope that no other religion in the whole world has. There's no other religion in the world has a lively... Now, some of them have hope. They hope if they march around that black rock in Mecca and beat themselves with a whip or a chain long enough, they hope maybe God will hear their prayer. But hey, that's a dead hope. And some of them think, other religions, the Mormons think, well, if I work hard enough and I be good enough long enough, I've got this hope that I can graduate to the third heaven and become like God. Well, my hope is in heaven, already settled before the foundation world's ever laid. He said that He predestined us under this lively hope, and He gave it to us. Ain't something you got to work up. I don't have to work that up. I have confidence, I have assurance, I have the peace of God in my heart that I know, that I know, that I know if I die, I'm going to heaven. Amen? And I've also got that same peace and that same hope that I know, that I know, that I know that He's going to take care of me on the trip, on the way there, while I'm alive, if I'm sick or if I'm well, if I'm rich or I'm poor, whatever the case may be. I've got a lively hope. It's not just some pie in the sky made up junk. Amen? Why is it people will follow some of the weirdest religious teachings and they can't follow the simple teachings of Jesus Christ? Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they'll follow some weird old religion where you got to cut a chicken's head off and drink his blood or something, you know. But they, and then they still have no hope. They'll give their bodies. You watch during Easter time, right before Easter, in the Philippines, those a lot of mixed up people. They're Catholics, but they've still held on to their heathen religions like most of them do. And they will allow somebody to nail them to a cross and put them. Yes, they will. Yes, every year they do that. Thousands of them. These men will allow people to drive nails through their hands and hoist them up on the cross. They allow them to beat them. They put a crown of thorns on their head, thinking, hoping, maybe this is going to be good enough to get me to heaven. Since Jesus did it, I'm doing it. It's going to save me. Well, it doesn't save you. That's a weirdo. That's demonic inspired. Amen? Why don't you just settle on the finished work of Christ instead of you trying to repeat it over and over and over and over? Amen? Amen. I've got a lively hope. And people will call you fanatic, but God's grace puts that down inside your soul and nobody can take it out. Amen? Now I want you to notice another. Look at verse 13, if you will. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That means get your mind straight. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace, there's that word again, that it is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, you get your mind on the right things, you gird up that mind, and that hope through that grace, you'll have it when Jesus comes back. That's what he's saying. As the obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Well, I looked up that word fashion today. I looked it up and all the meanings, you know, of that word fashioning. And it, of course, it has something to do with clothes, but it also says the word in other places, it means fashioning, like in this one, it means fashioning yourself to like these unbelievers that have no hope. They don't know what the grace of God is. And yet, you want to be like them. You want to look like them and talk like them and be a part of them. No, sir. I'm not fashioning myself after that, the things of this world. I'm fashioning myself after the Word of God. Amen? Amen. I don't have a problem with it. I don't. Boy, a preacher preaches at me. I'm guilty. I say, oh me. Oh me. Help, Lord. Help. Help. I'm not trying to be like nobody else. I want to be like the Lord, the way He wants me to be. And He says, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. I've told you, look that word up in Old English. That means everything. Not the way you talk is the way you walk. That's what it means. It's your lifestyle. And he said that we'll be holy in our lifestyle because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Boy, when's the last time you heard somebody read that verse? Amen. 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 They say. Verse 17. If you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. If you're going to call on Him, He's going to judge you now. He said, be holy. Now He's going to see if you're holy. Okay. And then He judges your work according to every man's work past the time of your sojourning here in fear. In other words, though I have a lively hope, though I've experienced the grace of God, though I know the Lord Jesus Christ, I am still to fearfully behave for the Lord. Amen? Amen. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, there's that lifestyle again, received by tradition from your fathers. You didn't, this wasn't handed down to you. God's got no grandchildren. Wasn't handed down to you. You didn't receive this from your fathers, okay? But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. There it is. Y'all get mixed up on foreordination, predestination, calling and election. There it is right there. That's what he's talking about every time. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever made, but was manifest, it was shown, in these last times for you, who by Him to believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. This pastor said we'll be living in holiness because we say we know a holy God. And we're not to fashion ourselves after this world, but to live like the next world and our Father in heaven. And he said that Jesus has already paid the price. Why don't we just go ahead and look, you can't get it from your grandpa or your papa. It ain't handed down to you. God's got to put that in you. And then when He puts it in you, then the grace of God in your salvation will make you be different. Amen. It'll make you be different. It'll make you be holier. Amen? Well, that word just rings out, don't it? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. You got holy angels, a holy temple, a holy heaven. There's holy saints. There's a holy house. Amen. There's a holy word. Holy. I like that word, holy. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not going to get to heaven being holy. But we ought to be holy because we're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. And God's grace in our salvation gave us a lively hope, and it gave us a living holiness. We'll live holy. Now, I don't have much respect nor patience with this worldly crowd running around here now, and they want to appease the devil and his crowd by whittling away at our holiness and God's holiness. They've made him into the old man upstairs. He's their good buddy. He ain't your buddy. He's a holy God. And he ain't your, he ain't the old man upstairs either. He's a holy creator of the universe. Amen. My heavenly Father. He's not an old man. He's not some Santa Claus just sitting up there waiting for somebody to call out for some new toys. I hate it. I hate it when people are biblically ignorant and they go on these tangents about what God's doing. And sometimes I just want to look at him. I want to say, God is not within 100 miles of that stuff. Amen? Amen. Now the grace of God and salvation will make you that way. It'll make you jealous for God. It'll make you jealous for God. Amen? Don't make you sick when people just pervert the whole idea of Christianity and the whole idea of God the Father and the whole idea of God the Son and the whole idea of God the Holy Ghost. Doesn't that make you sick? Doesn't that kind of rub you the wrong way? Amen? Amen. It ought to. Because look, we're supposed to be living in holiness. We're supposed to be different. Amen? Now, we're not perfect. I never would say that. We're not perfect. But holy means abstaining from evil. And then, just in case you didn't and something happened, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we're not saying that we're any better than anybody else. We're just saying God is holy, therefore we need to live separate and live close to the Scriptures and live close to God. Amen? Now, you won't have many friends if you do that. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. You won't have many friends. You won't have many preacher friends. I'll tell you that right now. But, God will be your friend. Amen. When you get to heaven, you'll be glad you did it. Amen. You'll have billions of friends up there that did it too. Amen. Amen. But preacher, they'll laugh at me. They laughed at him. They laughed at John the Baptist. They laughed at Elijah and Elisha. They laughed at poor Jeremiah. I've been reading him again. Poor Jeremiah, they locked him up in stocks and throw things at him. They laughed at him, made fun of him, cussed him. Poor Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He was just telling them the truth. And now, if you want to be popular, you better just forget all that, okay? Amen. It shocks me how little church members know. It shocks me. It really does. And how easily they're offended. Now, not here. We got a pretty tough crowd here. They're not easily offended. Matter of fact, the Bible says the brethren are not easily offended. And I always wonder about those people who are easily offended. I wonder, are they brethren or not? And if they are, they're out of the will of God because they sure ain't acting like brethren. Amen. Love covers a multitude of sins. It ought to cover a multitude of offenses. Amen. How many times are you supposed to ask forgiveness? Every time. Amen. Every time. Now, I've got a lively hope through the grace of God. Look, you don't have to pump me up. You ain't got to pump me up. I know why. Hey, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen? You ain't got to pump me up. I know what I got. Amen? Amen. You ain't got to beg me. I already know which way to go. Amen? You ain't got to push me or drag me or pump me or prime me or plead with me. I know what the real thing is. I've been there. Amen? And so I got that lively hope because of the grace of God. And I don't, look, I don't always make it, but I strive. I strive because of the grace of God. it inspires me to be holy because of His love. Amen? My wife loves me. It inspires me to be a better husband. I fixed her supper tonight, did she tell you? Y'all didn't know I cooked, did you? Yeah, I stopped at Publix and bought two salads. Huh? It was good. It was good. Big old salads. Hey, don't laugh at me. Hey, I inspire her to love me. Amen? you don't have to beg her to love you if she brings you food. Amen? Jeffrey? Yeah, I saw that. I said, you don't have to beg somebody to love you if you inspire them by doing things for them. Amen? And God inspires me to love Him and live for Him. Hey, you ain't got to convince me I'm saved. Hey, and look, you don't have to browbeat me to try to live for Him. His grace, His love inspires you to live differently. Amen? And I worry about these people who don't live differently. They can still go to the bar and they can still run with the same old crowd, or in your case, ride with the same old crowd. And Rick still got that motorcycle, amen. And amen. He still rides alone. Hey, you ought to get you one of them shirts like Lenny had on Laverne and Shirley that said the lone wolf on the back of it. And the L fell off. He said the one wolf. anyway, look, the grace of God will do that. And then I want you to notice there at verse 22, if you will. Look at verse 22. He said, seeing ye have purified your souls. Now, how'd you do that? By quitting something? No. In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That means it's unbridled love. You don't have to, it's turned loose, okay? And see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently means do it hard. Love people hard. Love them when they're unlovable. Amen? And in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, wait a minute. We talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What's the corruptible seed? It's the flesh. He's not talking about another birth of the flesh. That's what Hinduism teaches you. Go through different phases. You come back this time as a human. Next time you might be a cockroach. And you can't eat a chicken because that might be your grandma will come back. So you have to eat vegetables. But now they tell me vegetables have feelings. So maybe you're a bit leg off your sister. You don't ever know. How do people live? But he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God. That's incorruptible, the word of God. Jeffrey's laughing. He's trying to figure out how many brothers and sisters he's got. Cousin.
I didn't have any sisters, so I know what to hurt.
Get back in the book, brother, okay? I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's the flesh, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Did you get saved by the word of God?
Yes.
Not the baptistry. Not communion. Not doing good works. Not giving money. Not preaching, teaching, praising, or whatever. But by the word of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Your faith had better come out of that word of God, or you are not born again. Somebody said one time, can you get saved without the Bible? I said, no. And they said, well, I've heard of so-and-so in these different countries and stuff saying they got saved and there wasn't a Bible in their village. I said, if they got saved, somebody came through there and quoted some scripture. They might have been a kid or something, but somebody. Why would you want to get saved if you didn't know the scripture? How would you know you got to be saved if you didn't have the word of God? The incorruptible word of God. Now, your flesh might tell you saved, but what does the word of God say? Now, the grace of God, listen. helps us live in harmony with the Word of God. Keep going. Look at verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory as man as the flower of grass. The flower withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now you listen to me. The Bible would have to disappear before you could lose your salvation. The word of God. And it can. There's one in heaven. He wrote the book. The living word, Jesus Christ, he'd have to die. Amen. So you can't lose it. Now go to chapter 2 real quick, y'all. Y'all listening fast tonight. See what happens when you get rid of troublemakers. You can listen so much faster. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now he said, now that's what you got to lay aside. Lay a bit aside. And aren't our churches eat up with that stuff? I'm going to go through them again. Maybe somebody on that Facebook needs to hear it. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's being mean and hateful, all guile, that's a bad mouth talking, feeling bad about people, hypocrisies, you know what that is, envying, and you know what that is, and all evil speaking, that's backbiting and gossip. Now look, he says, lay that aside, and then here's what you do. Verse 2, as newborn babes. Now, a newborn babe doesn't know anything about those things. See that? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Boy, ain't that something? If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, the grace of God will make you live in harmony with other people. Yeah. You know, you're not going to like everybody. Newsflash, everybody's not going to like you. Amen. You never thought about that, have you? Not everybody's going to like you either. Amen? And you're not going to like everybody. But you know what? You don't have to talk bad about them. You don't have to hate them. You don't have to envy them. I told this fellow one day, I said, because he thinks everybody's talking about him and everybody's looking at him. I said, let me tell you something. On an average day, most people, it never occurs to them that you're even in the world. And you think they're talking about you. And they probably went all day, Brother Rick, without even mentioning your name or thinking about it. Thank you, Lord. All of them. Most of them. So why in the world would we worry about that and then turn around and try to defend ourselves and talk bad and envy and all those things, you know? He said, don't do that. Be like a little baby. Just be like, baby loves everybody. Yep. Yeah, baby loves everybody. They don't know who's supposed to be pretty and who's supposed to be ugly. They don't know who's supposed to be smart and who's supposed to be dumb. They don't know who's got on the most modern clothes or old wore out clothes. All they know is somebody's holding them and paying them a little bit of attention. And he said, you get like a little innocent baby, and then you'll ignore all that stuff. And then desire the sincere milk of the word. You know what he's talking about? The simple things. Baby doesn't know anything about the third heaven, you know, or the river Euphrates, you know, or Pharaoh. He said, just be like a little baby. Lay all that other stuff aside. Take the grace of God, become like a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word of God, you may grow thereby. But I like what he said in verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, if you've not tasted that the Lord is gracious, the rest of it makes no sense. You ever had anybody look at you that claimed to be a Christian and they say, I just don't understand that. I just don't understand you. I don't understand your church. I don't understand you. I don't understand the Bible, all these things. Could it be that maybe they've never tasted that the Lord is gracious? There's that word grace again. Maybe they've never experienced the grace of God. They've never had their eyes opened, their minds enlightened, their heart changed, their soul regenerated, and they're dead in trespasses and sin. So therefore, they're defending themselves all the time by talking bad about the people who have tasted the grace of God. Amen? Because you're a strange creature, that crowd, brother. Amen? And by the way, that's a good reason to come out from among them. Yeah, they don't understand you anyway. And you're beyond that, see. And now, what happens is, once you experience the grace of God, you learn how to live in harmony with other believers. Now, I don't have to agree with everything that other believers say. There's some basic things we have to agree on. We have to believe the Bible's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And if you don't believe that, then the rest of it ain't going to work anyway. And then we have to believe that Jesus was the virgin born, lived a sinless life, died in our place, rose from the dead, sits on the right hand of the Father, coming back in all His glory, and we believe that to be saved. Now those things any Christian ought to be able to agree on. Amen? And if they can't believe on those simple things right there, they're not saved. If you can't get past the Word of God being infallible, inerrant, and inspired, just leave that person alone. Because what's going to happen is they're going to get mad at you, and then they're going to backbite and criticize and all kind of things against you, trying to make themselves look better. Come out from among them. I went by a church the other day, and it said, a member of the cooperative program. Now, Southern Baptists are breaking up into all different kinds of groups now. Some of them claim they're the founders group, which are Calvinist. But then on the other extreme, you've got those who claim to be open to just about anything. They call themselves cooperative. And you can be homosexual, and you can be perverted, and you don't have to believe the Bible, as long as you get together and give money to missions. What kind of missionary are you going to support if he doesn't believe the Bible? So if you get to the Bible and they don't believe that, say, I'm sorry, we don't have anything to talk about. Because they're going to turn on you. But you find somebody that at least believes the Bible is the Word of God, and they believe all the things about Christ, and then you've got something that you can fellowship with. Now, you may disagree on baptism. That's, hey, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of England, Anglican Church, all these churches, they sprinkle babies, you know. And one of them here asked me one day, said, well, what's the big deal? I said, well, it's such a big deal. God's got a river in heaven so we can put y'all Methodists under. Amen. We're going to have a big baptism up there. There's going to be a bunch of Methodists, Presbyterian, you know, people like that. And they're going to get up there and say, Lord, what's that river for? He's going to say, you. We got to baptize you, amen? But seriously, I can disagree on baptism, think you're still going to heaven. I can't go to church with you because you're going to baptize babies, and I think you're misleading people by doing that. They're going to grow up and think they're saved because they got baptized as a baby. I can disagree on some things, but the fundamentals of the faith, if they don't believe that, then you might as well go on, because you're not going to be able to be in harmony with those people. It's always going to be an argument. And sometimes people from other denominations will come here and they'll say, well, can we join the church? I said, well, are you saved? Yep. I said, have you been scripturally baptized? And if they say no, I said, well, we'll have to baptize you. And most of the time they're willing to do that, you know. Occasionally they don't. Or maybe they belong to some kind of different faith altogether. And they come in here and they say, well, can I join this church? And I said, well, let's talk. Now, we're Baptists. Did you read the sign out there? It said Baptists. We're not this new kind that don't put Baptists on the sign. By the way, that's so deceptive. Because you talk to them, they say, oh, we're Baptists. But we don't want to put it on there because that causes division. Yes, it does. It's supposed to. And I don't want to be a crook and not put Baptist on the sign. Then people come in here looking for a non-denominational or interdenominational where this one got dipped and this one got poured and this one got dumped.
And today you got a woman preacher, next week you got a man preacher, the next week you got a mixture. Amen?
Yes.
Just lay it out there. And then if you'll do that, you'll be in harmony. Babies don't lie about stuff. If they stink, they stink. They don't try to make any excuses. Amen? If they want something, they tell you. That's the same thing for everything they want, you know. But look, he said, let's live in harmony. And look, it's more than just, there's more than just a pie in the sky. And there's more than just a prayer for salvation. And there's more than just saying, I'm a Christian. You ought to walk like it.
Amen.
And there's more than just going to a church. You ought to get along with them too.
Amen.
And by the way, if you can't get along here, go somewhere else. We won't be mad at you. Amen? Hey, I've been in church and full vacation and stuff. I think this will be the first and the last time I'll ever be here. I love you, but I'll never be back because me and you do not agree. We will not walk together on this stuff. Amen? Amen. But that's okay. I don't hate them. And I hope they don't hate me. But 1 Peter is all about the grace of God. Now, we're going to stop right there, and we'll take up next week. And it's going to get gooder and gooder. All right. Let's stand. Get your hymn book. It's all about